Welcome back to the PhD oral competition number two. Our next presentation in the program is going to be given by Ray Yang from the University of Idaho, and he's going to be speaking on evaluating calcium silicate slag in rice production, trace contaminants, and drought stress alleviation.
Thank you, Tom. I would like to start with a short introduction. Calcium silicon slag is a generic name that includes slag from both iron and steel industries and from phosphate refining that are primarily calcium silicate. These slags are potentially good source of silicon, a quasi-essential nutrient for most plants, but for rice and sugarcane, silicon is usually considered essential. Rice and sugarcane are blended with slags demonstrated greater biomass or yield, less pathogen infection, and more silicon accumulation in plant tissues. However, this type of slag usually contains trace contaminants. If you Google calcium silicon slag, most results you're going to find focused on the iron and steel slags, and very few research have evaluated the slag from phosphate refining. Rice has been adapted for flood culture. A timely event of flooding and adequate water supply is essential for successful rice production. Drought stress is one of the most important factors limiting rice production. Even mild drought stress could cause significant yield loss. Rice in the U.S. is exclusively grown in flooded culture. For example, the Mississippi River alluvial aquifer is an important water source for major rice-producing regions. However, as indicated by the red and yellow colors in this picture, water table of this aquifer has been continuously dropping in the past couple of decades. Climate change, especially erratic rain distribution during rice growing seasons, as well as declining water table, could make rice production more susceptible to drought stress. The role of silicon in drought stress mitigation has been extensively studied on many crops and forage grasses. Plants treated with supplemental silicon usually had better water standards and therefore greater biomass or yield. However, limited studies have been performed on rice, and few have evaluated calcium silicon slag as a source of silicon. In order to address those issues, two objectives were designed. The first one focused on bioavailability of silicon and trace contaminants, while the second one focused on drought stress. Two greenhouse studies were performed at Auburn University's Plant Science and Research Center using rice variety CL151. This whole study was replicated twice in 2015 and 16. The experiment design was RCB design with four replications. The same slag rates and application methods were evaluated for both studies. For study one, two soils typically used for rice or sugarcane production, a mineral soil from Mississippi and an organic soil from Florida, were evaluated. For study two, we only used the mineral soil from Mississippi. For study one, rice was grown under flooded conditions, which is the typical growth condition for rice. For study two, the drought stress elevation study, we compared two moisture regimes, flooding and 50% capacity, which is considered as drought. Study 1 was a whole growth period study and a typical dry seeding management practice we used. Similar management practices were also used for Study 2, except that the duration was only 8 weeks. Here are some background information of the slag we used. This slag contains about 20% silicon, and a small proportion is readily available for plant uptake. Since no specific regulations was designed for slags, we used the EPA's rule for sludges and biosolids as a benchmark. So total concentration of trace contaminants listed in this table were all well below the threshold, and only a tiny proportion are readily available for plant uptake. Since the slag has a much higher bulk density, loading rate is probably a better indicator than the total concentration. So when applied at 4,000 pounds per acre, which is a typical rate used in Florida, total loading rate of all the elements were well below the maximum limit. This slag does have some radioactivity and was greater than the background soil. Bioavailability of silicon in this slag were first analyzed. Linearly increased plant available silicon in soils occurred for both years, for both soils, and for both application methods. Overall, surface applied slag was more effective than incorporated slag, as indicated by the higher slopes of the regression lines. Slag application showed a minimum effect on total silicon accumulation in rice straw in Sharkey clay, which is a mineral soil, possibly because this soil is already adequate in plant available silicon. Slag application showed a greater influence on the organic soil. A linearly increased total silicon in rice straw occurred. So based on those results, we suggest that silicon in applied slag was plant available and was absorbed into plant tissues. This slag has a relative neutralizing value of 31%, which means it has some liming ability. And also, availability of elements in soils is largely affected by soil pH, especially the metallic elements. So we first analyzed the effect of slag application on soil pH. For the mineral soil, soil pH linearly increased with increasing slag rate. But there was no effect in the organic soil, possibly because the organic soil has much higher buffer capacity. Among all the factors we analyzed, total concentration of trace contaminants and total radioactivity in soils and as well as rice grain were not affected by slag application. Also, plant available cadmium, chromium, and lead, which are our primary concerns, were also not affected by slag application. In contrast, plant available nickel, copper, and zinc, which are also essential plant nutrients, were significantly affected by slag application. As you can see from this figure, the solid line represents the mineral soil. Plant available nickel in this mineral soil gradually decreased with increasing slag rate. This is possibly because of the liming effect. This trend was less evident in the organic soil, possibly because of less evident liming effect, and possibly because soil organic matter binds nickel strongly. Again, applied slag showed no effect on plant available copper and zinc in the mineral soil. In the organic soil, applied slag increased plant available copper and zinc slightly, but differences among slag rates were not significant. This result indicates slag application maintained or slightly increased availability of copper and zinc in soils. Now, let's switch gear to the drought stress study. We analyzed a couple of drought stress indicators. The first one is foliage density, which is a similar concept to a leaf area index and indicates canopy health and vigor. We can see drought stress significantly reduced foliage density relative to flooding, but applied slag helped restore the foliage density back to a similar level to flooding rice. When applied at the highest slag rate, foliage density of drought stress rice was comparable to flooded rice. Similarly, applied slag showed no effect on flooded rice. And also, at the very beginning of the drought stress, applied slag showed no effect. But as drought stress prolonged, for example, week 3 and week 4, drought stress rice showed a linearly increased leaf transpiration. The same trend occurred for leaf photosynthesis. And again, when applied at the highest slag rate we used, drought stress rice showed a comparable photosynthesis rate to the flooded rice. Carbon isotope discrimination, aka delta C13, is a reliable indicator of drought stress for C3 plants. Typically, plants subject to water deficit have lower delta C13. So under drought stress conditions, rice showed a linearly increased delta C13 with increasing slag rate, which means with supplied slag, rice was less stressed. Proline and sugars are compatible solutes and tend to accumulate in drought-stressed plants. Similarly, no effect was found on flooded rice, but a linearly decreased proline occurred for drought-stressed rice, which means rice was less stressed with supplemental slag. Without the help of supplemental slag, drought-stressed rice accumulated more glucose, more fructose, the less sucrose in leaf. This is actually interesting because sucrose is a dimer of glucose and fructose. Rice may have sacrificed production of sucrose to produce more glucose and fructose for osmotic regulations. Under both flooded and drought stress conditions, total concentration of sugars gradually increased, and this was more evident for drought stress rice as indicated by the greater slope. Again, at the high slag rate, drought stress rice had a comparable sucrose production to the flooded rice. Here's a summary of important findings of this study. And based on these results, we could say the calcium silicon slag from phosphate refining might benefit rice production by improving silicon availability and reducing drought stress without having potential environmental risks. Yeah, I would like to express my gratitude to everyone who helped me with this study. I would like to take questions.